A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakeador Laurie.
Hello.
Hey, man, how's it going?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
Very, very well, thanks. How has your week been?
It's been busy. We have a lot of things that we're doing here at WrestleTalk, but I also have a lot of other stuff that I'm working on for a bunch of other companies as I am a freelancer.
Yes.
So I've suddenly got like 11 different videos to deliver, as well as all the WrestleTalk stuff, like in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So fun.
Yeah, it's going to be nice as well because you're in like almost every day next week, aren't
you?
Yes,
I am. I'm in Monday to Thursday next week.
How exciting.
Because
we've got
all Christmas.
Yes, we've got to do loads of stuff to get ready for the Christmas period. Actually, I need to do some heck of a lot of writing today to get that done. Fantasy Booking Warfare, you and I are going head to head. Fantasy Booking Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 35, which was voted for by our Patreon pledge hammers. That's going to be going up. I've actually got the...
Well, I've had an idea.
Yeah, I've actually got the schedule in front of me. That will be going up on Sunday, the 23rd of December, which will be a heck of a lot of fun. We're not going to do any of our... Are we doing any of our Christmas episodes next week? We're not doing like the actual Christmas episode, but we're going to do like...
I think we're doing a bunch of like...
The predictions and the top ten stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we've got a lot of stuff that we've got coming
up. Top 10 matches, top 10 wrestlers.
Yes.
All of that good stuff.
That's the stuff I've got to start writing today, actually. So, loads of awesome stuff coming your way. I made a bit of a mistake in my video yesterday.
Why?
My SmackDown review. So I made a joke. I was thinking to myself while I was on the tube, because I write my script while I'm on the tube, which usually means I'm underground and I can't get access to the internet.
So you guess a lot of stuff.
So I have to... I guess a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of times where I was writing in my scripts... blah, 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 find the name later. And Ollie would read them and be like, why have you written that? I was like, oh, I forgot to check when I got off the tube.
So like, I was just thinking to myself while I was watching SmackDown, God, I haven't seen Almas in ages. Mm. I've not seen Andrade Cien Almas on SmackDown in forever. At least it feels like it's been forever. And so I thought, well, okay, I've literally got 2 seconds at a Wi-Fi stop before I get into the office at a tube. So I'm going to go to Wikipedia, because if a wrestler farts, then it's updated on Wikipedia. And I was like, that's likely to be the most up-to-date place that I can quickly get access to in terms of what Almas has done this year.
Mm.
And the last entry they had there was that he was in the kickoff show for SummerSlam.
Yes.
And I thought to myself, God, is that right? That surely can't be right. And I was like, but... I mean, there's nothing else written here, so I guess that really was the last thing that he did. So I made a joke about that in my SmackDown review, and I was quickly notified that that's very, very wrong. And he's actually had a couple of matches on SmackDown since then. He competed for the Survivor Series team, apparently. Matches I have no recollection with. He had a match with Jeff Hardy. No memory of that whatsoever.
And I mean, he's not been seen recently, and do you think that's because...
He was on TV like 3 weeks ago, apparently. He had a match with Ray, and I completely forgot about that.
Did he?
Yeah, and like, some people was like, oh, you review these shows, how do you not remember? I was like, I just didn't remember it whatsoever.
Into one.
But as soon as people mentioned Rey, I was like, oh yeah, no, he did have that Rey Mysterio match. Oh. But the problem is, if you release a video which has got an error into it, no matter how much you say in the comments, and you pin a comment that says like, hey guys, look, I made an error, here's why I made an error, this, that, and the other. Everyone else in the office missed it as well. I have been inundated with people saying, you realize you made a mistake? Oh, by the way, you made a mistake. Yeah. Just to let you know, you made a mistake.
People like to be right online.
Oh, it's I Last night, when we left the pub last night, you know, 11:30, I was just going through my Twitter feed, and it was just like, made a mistake. And I just replied to every single one of them going like, oh, I've been made aware.
Yeah, I know, thanks.
I know, thanks. The video's been up for 9 hours. Yeah. Trust me, people have told me.
You're not the only pedant in the world.
Like, within 5 minutes of a video going live, you know if you've made an error into it, because 100 people will have told you. And I was like, and I started to feel really down about it. I felt really like sad when I got home. And then I was like, I got into bed and I was feeling really down about it. Woke up this morning, watched NXT, and I was like, hey, I really enjoyed that. Check Twitter. More people have got in touch to let me know that I got wrong. And I was like, I just felt sad over again.
Almas has been seen, dude. You need to like get the times, man. You're so old.
I know. I'm so old and senile these days.
Yeah, you need to remember all the things that have... The thing is, you need to remember everything that's happened on WWE every single week. Because otherwise... You're not good at talking about it.
Yeah,
that's because I don't know. I just it's so much stuff to talk about all the time. And like, I think the thing that maybe doesn't get put across is that when you're writing scripts for this stuff that we're doing, like, we're also talking about things that happen. Like, we're doing top tens of things that have happened over the last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, like whatever it is. Your mind's so full of stuff, you're not going to remember unremarkable CN Almas matches with Jeff Hardy. Like, it's really difficult to. Like, we're also now thinking, you know, and I'm not trying to make excuses or anything, but we are also now thinking ahead to Christmas and doing top matches of the year. I've been rewatching various, like, matches from NXT, from the main roster, from Evolution and stuff, to, like, do this list. So, like, there's all this other stuff floating around in the ether. It's really hard to, like, find that one tiny bit of information and just drag it out when all you want to do is make a really flippant joke.
Yeah.
Because that's the problem, is that's all it was for. It was just to go and joke.
Yeah, and joke. I thought there'd be a really... Because I just thought to myself, I was like, God, it's weird. But you're right. Like, I've watched it, and it's not to make excuses, because I really should have fact-checked it with something better than Wikipedia. Cagematch.net, for example. I really should have gone to that, because that would have been the best place for me to go. But I just thought to myself, I was like, God, that seems like an awfully long time for him not to be on TV.
Yes, yeah.
Turns out that it isn't actually that long. It's longer than it needed to be. But it was a very much an error on my part. My wife came into the office this morning, and she was like, my office at home, not the work office. She was like, you just seem sad. And I explained why, and she was like, don't be an idiot. Like, just like, don't be an absolute idiot.
No, because
like,
you were an idiot yesterday when you said that about Almas. So you've done that already.
Don't be an idiot now. What I should be doing is I should be relishing in the games that we played last night, which we'll talk about in the outro of this show. But I wanted to send a quick shout out to Matt Taylor, who got in touch to say, hello, Luke, Laurie and Andy, thanks for reading out my son William's joke the other week on your NXT review podcast. I played that show back to him and it made his day. I just want to email back to Luke. As you said, you wanted to know where I lived in Sweden. You guys don't have to read this out, as they have a lot of other emails to work through. So we're not going to read out the whole thing, because he does go into very, very big detail about where he whereabouts he lives. And I've really enjoyed reading the email. It was really, really nice for you to send across so much. But he does end here by saying, like, cheers, Matt. Oh, and by the way, Luke, you are right. Sweden is filled with lots of beautiful people, and I stick out like a sore thumb.
Oh,
don't be so damn yourself.
As the most beautiful.
Absolutely, you are the most beautiful man here. Thank you very much for that email, Matt. Really, really did appreciate this. Also, slight update to yesterday's podcast, where Christopher Jenkins, Leroy Jenkins, sent us an email assuming that we had not read out his name in the shout-outs, when we actually had, and he threatened to send a gift over to the Cultaholic team, which we would then have to try and like fight to get back. I then pointed out that, we did read out your name, and we have read out your previous email. So he sent back a very, very apologetic email. He was never very serious in the first place, but he just emailed back saying, hey, look, just finished and listened to the podcast today. Make sure you read the PS in fine print directly below my rant, which I didn't, because it is written in very, very small font, which he did on purpose, so that I might have missed it. But yes, he said, the PS basically says, sorry guys, been working slow for the last few days. I would practice my heel promo skills. The hammers are safe and sound, and as I mentioned before, I will update you when they're in the post, and I have a tracking number. Luke, please remit his email to Ollie on air so I can hear the terror in his voice when he thinks the hammers might be in danger, and then the frustration in his voice when he thinks they're going to the cotton-headed ninny muggins at Pachiti. But seriously, please do not forget my awesome Patreon name, Infinite Crisis Chris Jenkins, in future, which we didn't. So he sent us another picture of the hammers to say that they will be, they should be arriving, they should be mailed the Thursday the 13th, should be arriving with us the following Tuesday and or Wednesday. Whoa. So,
Hammers,
very, very excited to get these hammers, although we're still not sure whether we might just keep them in the office, but we're going to have to put them apart the set. They're too cool not to have as part of the set. But we can work out something. Maybe we'll drill them into the wall or something. Or drill some hooks that they can hang on. Mm. So thank you very much for
cluttered.
All of you. thank you very much for your correspondence. We're going to be back in the outro to talk about some games that we played. But first, here's the NXT review, kicking off with the debut of Punishment Martinez. Here is the show. We're going to talk about Punishment Martinez, who made his debut in NXT. He's been doing a lot of live events for them since signing, what was it, last month, a couple of months ago? It was probably October
time. It was a very fast turnaround.
Fast turnaround, because he was in Ring of Honor like the week previous, and then all of a sudden he's just showing up in NXT live events. So this is his first appearance on TV, and he's in a match with the King of Bros, Matt Riddle. I'd be very interested to see, because this is kind of like our first... I would say this is almost our first proper Matt Riddle match in NXT.
Yes, where he's not just knocking Cassius Ohno down in about 10 seconds.
Or doing a squash match.
Yeah, squashy squash.
So this is like his first, you could almost say, proper match in NXT. And we've had some feedback from people who watch the Ramble, or get hosted on Twitter or on our Discord. They're just like, don't get him. I don't get the whole Matt Riddle thing, which we've talked about at length before. So I'd be interested to see, now that people have seen him in a quote-unquote proper match, even though it only went like 6 or 7 minutes, what people think of him now. But
He's great.
He's the best.
If you think different, you're wrong.
Frankly, you're just wrong.
You're just wrong. This is not subjective opinion. This is an objective fact.
This is just,
he's very good.
Fact. He's just the best. Mm. So, what did you make of Martinez's debut?
I thought it was good. I would have liked to have seen this match go longer.
Mm-hmm.
I do not think the ending particularly helped anyone. Well, it helped Matt Riddle.
I was going to say, helped Riddle, yeah.
But, yeah, it feels a bit like... because. You know what, like, Triple H did his obligatory handshake photo afterwards, and he was saying, like, unrelenting, brutal, blah, blah, blah. It's like, well, he did relent. He relented a lot. He relented quite a few times on
Matt
Riddle.
Yes.
So I just feel like this was, one, having him tap out, I don't think is a, it puts Riddle over huge, obviously, but I don't think it's very good for Martinez in the long run to be like, yeah, in your debut match, you tapped out to the Bro Mission.
Yeah.
It could have done with going longer if that was going to be the case, and have him worn down, or some, you know, there's something happens that causes him to be injured in the right places for the submission to work properly.
Yeah.
Rather than just being like, that's the first time he gets attacked there, and he's like, oh no, my neck's sore now.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and I think you could have just, maybe we could have just dropped to the Forgotten Sons.
Yeah.
In this match, rather than just overall. We'll get rid of them forever, but we dropped the match that they had in this episode, and we let this go half an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Have a proper good showing from both guys where it's really, really close. Matt Riddle wins out in the end, probably not with the Bro Mission. I probably would have been like, let's use a different finisher there, like an actual just move, 1-2-3, because it's much less of a sort of a giving up.
Yeah.
And then everyone comes out of it looking pretty strong.
Mm-hmm.
And Martinez has this great debut. It wasn't a bad debut. I think he looked really good.
He did look good.
He had some great stuff. He's got an amazing look. He's almost like, I saw someone saying he's like a proto Undertaker.
Yeah. I can see that, yeah.
And I like that idea.
Yeah. I thought this was a really good presentation of Martinez. He got to do some really wicked stuff, like that cyclone kick that he did, and he did this really wicked clothesline to take down Matt. And I thought there was some really good stuff in there with, like, dumping Matt Riddle around the ring. But this almost felt to me like the... and I'm going to use the words debut here, that Donovan Dijak had on NXT TV, where he came in as Donovan Dijak and had some matches where he just lost, maybe competitively. And now they took him off TV for a little while, and they've repackaged him so he can re-debut as Dijakovic, which we got a promo for on this show.
Yeah. He's got an Ovich now.
Yes. So whether this was like the official NXT debut of Punishment Martinez, or it's going to be one of those... sort of debuts where later down the line he's just going to come back with a brand new name.
Punishment Martinezovic.
Well, there you go.
He can team with Otis Dozovic,
Dijakovic,
and then Martinezovic.
Yes, absolutely. I love it. I did like Percy Watson on commentary pointing out that Punishment Martinez's father once beat Chuck Norris in a sparring match. So, hey, man, that's putting him over a bit big there. And like you said, like, he used to fight off loads of dudes at the same time. A lot of talk about his dad rather than the man himself is why he's called Punishment and this and the other. I, like you, I thought this was a shame that it went so short. Is it anywhere like 6-7 minutes? I certainly could have done with it going longer, even if it only went 15 minutes, just to get something out of it. But if it is just a, here he is, we're putting him out on TV, but down the line we're going to rebrand him and give him a new name and a new look. I mean, I certainly hope they give him new entrance music, because he
sounded like there was didgeridoos in the background. Like, I mean, this was like,
my first note is like, his music is a series of fart noises that don't build to anything.
Yeah.
It's like you're waiting for it to like get to the next level. It's just a. It's all his music.
You'd be like
is.
That's like the 4 second sting. It's like the what we were. You said it was horses at Shayna Baszler's thing. It's not. Whatever that car crash is at the beginning of Shayna Baszler's music.
It's horses.
And then it's not horses. It cannot be horses. Like whatever that noise is at the beginning of Baszler's and then the actual music that's good plays. I was sitting there being like, when's that coming? When does the rock bit come in? Like anything but. They seem to be like. I feel like the NXT composition team is having a very like lo-fi beats, like they're basically making concentration music but as people's entrance music. So Keith Lee's got it, Riddle has it.
I'll go to bat for Riddle's
his
music.
His is okay because he sells it and it works with the bro charm, but it also fits in that same sort of like original Samoa Joe music vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Martinez also has the same sort of like, it just feels like we're just chilling.
Yeah, well, we'll get onto this in the new year. New year, new theme. We'll get started in 2019. That's for future CFO money to sort out. So I thought it was a solid debut, but really, all this was here to do was just to further the Matt Riddle Cassius Ohno feud.
Mm-hmm.
Because as Riddle wins and he's being all bro about it because he's the best, he's walking up the ramp, turns around, looks at Ohno right in the face, and then Ohno delivers the rolling elbow to him and sort of knocks him off the stage. Good reaction from the crowd for Cassius. In that, excuse me. So, I think I've sort of said my piece on what I think for Punishment Martinez and what could be next for him.
Mm.
I could almost see them in 2019 giving him a brand new name. But what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I kind of agree. Actually, I think this could be just a let's get a bit of a pop.
Let's get on
this
on this
slow. What is probably going to be a fairly slow period into Christmas for NXT before we start building to War Games properly. Like
Phoenix, you mean?
Sorry, Phoenix, yeah. I've said TakeOver so many times today because it's in the news as well. I was like, oh, TakeOver Phoenix. Like, as we're building to that, let's just have something that's going to make people go, ooh, like set up a notice that we're now probably getting back into the groove of actual NXT again rather than 2 weeks of just filler.
And you know what? That worked as well because I was, A, super excited that Matt Riddle was coming out for a match, but B, when Punishment Martinez came out with his farty music, I was like, oh, Punishment Martinez, hello. I thought to myself, well, there's our headline. Yeah. That's the name
Excellent.
Of this video sorted out.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We've got a lovely little video package following that Matt Riddle Punishment Martinez match for Ricochet. It was really cool. Just basically saying, like, look how cool he is. Look at all his flippity-doos. Yeah,
he's great. And then announcing the fact that he will defend the North American title next week.
Yes, in an open challenge.
Unannounced opponent.
Yes, he's doing the North American Open Challenge. This, by the way, sounds like a tremendous use of Ricochet. Just like, let's just put him out on TV every couple of weeks with an open challenge. And he can have an excellent match.
You can do flippies. Thumbs, and people can come out, yeah.
Thumbs up for that, mate. Can always do with a little bit of that on my TV every couple of weeks. So, if you read the spoilers, you know who it is that answers it. We're not going to spoil it here because we're not a spoiler show. Sorry, that Tetsuya Naito is coming back to haunt me.
It's those hops in a big way.
So we're not going to spoil it here, but I am very excited for that match because I'm a big fan of the lad, and it is a lad. We'll spoil that. That answers
we'll
the
spoil
challenge.
The gender. We should have done a gender reveal, had a little blue balloon come up from behind the desk.
But up next, I mean, it's not... But it might have been my favourite thing on the whole show. This
is brilliant. Tucky.
This was
Tucky.
So...
Tell him, Tucky.
Before we started recording, we spent a good 5 minutes just like walking around the studio, sitting on the lights, just going, Tucky.
Come on, Tucky.
Come on, Tucky. It was a video package
Tell
for
him,
Heavy Machinery. And what this promo was shots of the Heavy Machinery lifting weights. Including one, well, and eating stuff. Including one shot of Otis Dozovich staring maniacally at a plate of steak. There's like this ginormous, like, Flintstone-style steak on there. He's going...
he's like human Scooby-Doo, isn't he? He's like, he's just...
But, like, this video package was, like, clips of them lifting weights, clips of them eating steaks, and then... Tuck and I cutting a standard promo about, hey, you know, this time last year we weren't ready to capture the NXT Tag Team Championships. We could not defeat the AOP, the Authors of Pain, but gosh Hardy, we are ready now and we're gonna do it. Which has been emphasized with Otis Dozovich just going, oh, Tucky, yeah, oh, Tucky, yeah, yeah. Tell him, Tucky.
But it was like, I feel really like Tucker Knight is really put upon in this tag team because he's like had to do this ridiculous promo where they're doing all these weights and eating these steaks, and Dozovich is just running away with it, going, lift it, Tucky.
Come on, Tucky,
steaks
lift
and
it,
weights.
Tucky.
The steaks and weights, Tucky. But then he's just cutting this very polite promo while this maniacal gremlin sitting next to him is just going,
my God. If Otis Dozovich is not WWE champion at some point in his career, this company has no clue.
I hope he then calls the belt Tucky.
Belty.
Oh, Belty! Ah, Belty!
Come on, Belty! This was brilliant.
It was really fun.
It really brought a massive smile to my face. Also, what my notes are is just that, like, this is great. Otis is the best. Yeah. Oh, I loved it.
And when he says... We're a tag team, one heart, two souls. Tucky.
Tucky. Oh, Tucky. William Regal announced this could be a fatal four-way for the number one contendership to the NXT Women's Championship, and Bianca Belair is the first entrant into that. We saw clips of Tony Blair, defeating... I've written Deonna Purrazzo ? Because they didn't say who it was.
I got distracted by the fact that Bianca Belair had new gear. And I was just like, she's not wearing trousers. And then I spent a lot of time just being like, this is weird. It's filmed from very far away. I can't tell what's going on.
I unfortunately did not notice that because I was rewinding trying to work out who was she beat at a live event. Because they didn't say. So I was like, I think it's Deonna Purrazzo. I don't know though. So apologies. We're not up to date on... We haven't got.
I can tell you
notes.
What she was wearing.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, she's going to be in this Fatal 4 where we're going to find out who the other three entrants are along the line. Mm. Very cool. Up next, and good lord, did I get excited at this. Raul Mendoza and Humberto Carrillo versus the Forgotten Sons. But hey, doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was like, Mendoza?
Mendoza and Carrillo are here. Yes! I bloody love this tag team.
Yeah,
these
great.
Guys are great. And I'll be honest, this does feel like a stretch to say, and I appreciate this is a massive, massive stretch to say, but if if pushed right, if booked right, these two lads could be NXT's version of the Lucha Brothers.
Yes.
Of just having wicked flip-de-doo matches full of really, really fun offense with cool characters. Mm. Like, as I said, it's a stretch because they are, I mean, the Lucha Brothers, Pentagon and Phoenix, are like leagues above most tag teams in the whole world. But man alive, I'm a big, big fan. Kariya in particular, I think he's awesome.
Yeah,
he's so good. And this was a really, really fun tag team match when they were on offense.
Yes.
Because then it was just... So they basically, the story of this match was, they did flips, they were fun, the Forgotten Sons ground them down, and they won.
Yeah, there wasn't even much grinding down. I was like, I really got... to, at the end of this match, I was like, I really felt like the other guy should have won this. Like,
yeah.
I don't feel like Mendoza and Curio are even like hurt at this point. So I don't know, unless flipping hurts. So maybe.
Well, it's all the energy that takes out of you.
Wasted everything. They
Well, yeah, it's to your note you said last week where like you were only making notes about the people that lost.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much what happened
here. Doing it. I was just like, oh, and that's amazing. That's amazing. The bit where they did the poetry in motion, they did a springboard Rana, and then he did the poetry in motion, got caught and got dumped on top of it.
That was the best thing that Forgotten Sons did. Yeah, it was Wesley Blake was in the corner, and the not Lucha Brothers went to do the poetry in motion, and Blake just caught one of them and just effed him into the other lad. It was pretty cool, actually. It was a really good spot for them. But they hit a Scorpion Death Drop combo for the win.
Yeah, they had a few. I mean, the Forgotten Sons had a few cool moments in this.
Yeah,
there was a good one of them did a backbreaker that bounced them off the ropes and then onto the back. That was pretty cool. Like, there was, it was good, but I just think comparatively to what the other guys were doing, everything the Forgotten Sons were doing just looked a bit naff. And like, I don't understand why Riker's not getting involved in the matches. I don't understand why he's coming out and just standing there.
He's got to stand there and just like just not blink.
Yeah, I know, but like at least do it in a way that's off-putting. Like he's just doing it like politely away from the match. Like it's fine if you're not blinking and no one's looking, but like he should be
doing
helping
something.
His team actually get the win. I just feel like it's a bit like I don't really get the vibe from the Forgotten Sons. What are they?
Yeah, I don't really get them either. And like I think that we're not alone in that because aside from that one kid who had a sign for the Forgotten Sons with all of their names on it, I don't think they're over at all.
No, but I think he was given that to remind people what their names are.
Yeah.
They were like, here's this, and this is actually just this. It's more like a Wikipedia entry. It's Forgotten Sons. And then here's the breakdown of who's in it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This act isn't working for me at the moment. Maybe it's because it just sort of feels like bootleg sanity. Because like the way that they're dressed and like it's obviously the presentation is vastly different, but it does feel a bit
I think it doesn't help also now that Blake and Cutler have merged. They look exact same.
Oh,
now.
They do, yeah. Absolutely.
I was like, which one, like if it didn't say Cutler on his legs, I'd be like, I don't know which one you are anymore.
He's
like,
got the face mask on either to help us differentiate them. So it was a match. I was just happy to see Mendoza and Carrillo.
It was a good match.
Yeah, a good match.
Bad finish. Good match. I just don't get what they're going to do with any of these people.
Yeah.
There was nothing coming out of this where you were like, this was just a showcase for some people to do some stuff, but I don't feel like anyone's going to get any momentum or go anywhere from here.
Yeah, we've said it before, but like NXT has a stacked tag team roster. Mm. Good crikey. And actually, there's an interview with the Undisputed Era do where they sort of like list off a few of the names, and you're like, good lord, this is a stacked roster of tag teams that you could really do something with. I think come... probably after the Royal Rumble, it'll be after WrestleMania, there's going to be probably a big call-up of tag teams to not be used on the main roster.
Yes, exactly.
Just to probably just try and free up some space in NXT, I guess. But before we get to that Undisputed Era promo, Kathy Kelly was backstage with the Velveteen Dream trying to interview him, but like Dream just seemed all upset. And it wasn't because he didn't defeat Tommaso Ciampa for the NXT Tag Team Championship. No. Click of the finger. That was a terrible click. Click of the finger. Purple lights appear backstage. Way. And his music starts playing. Now he feels a bit more at home. Mm. Now it's an experience.
Now it seems like it's a boudoir. He's into it.
Yeah, and she's kind of asking what's next for she, being Kathy Kelly, pronouns pal, asking what's next for the Velveteen Dream. And he says that everyone, including Triple H, is talking about the Velveteen Dream. So in his eyes, his loss to Ciampa did what it needed to do. It got him, got people talking about him. Call me up, Vince, all that sort of stuff. And there was a really, and then it was a weird line. It's like, what's next for Dream? Leaving you. And he sort of walked away. Mm. But he said it so softly and so quietly that I didn't hear what he said. I had to rewind it four times to pick up. I thought he said spleening you. I thought he said cleaning you. And eventually I went to another report that said it said leaving. I was like, okay, right, cool. Leaving you. Now I got it.
Yeah.
Eventually I got there.
Suggesting bye-bye dream. I don't think he's ready.
No,
I think he should. I think he should be staying, and some of the other people he's been having matches with should go up. But,
yes, but
much
know,
of a muchness.
Much of a muchness, exactly. I mean, what they're going to do when they go up to the main roster anyway? It's not like they've got big plans for them.
No, exactly. He's gonna turn up and just be fun, isn't he? He's
yeah.
gonna come out and have like fun, sort of show opening New Day style.
Well,
like old New Day before they broke out into being like incredibly like amazing in ring workers, because that obviously their stream of matches this year have all been really, really good, and towards the latter half of last year, but like before when they were just mostly for fun.
Yeah,
I think that's what Dream's going to be for a while.
Well, you see, now I've just got a lack of confidence in this company, but you say New Day, I say No Way Jose. I say that you are on TV for a couple of weeks, and then before you know it, you are being used to get over Mojo Rawley.
Well.
Anyway, the Undisputed
we'll never
Era.
Get over Mojo Rawley.
Undisputed Era cutting a promo backstage. Cole this time, because of what happened to the War Raider, or happened with the War Raiders before War Games, just like, man, is the door locked? Just want to make sure the door is locked. Nice little touch. I really appreciate that. And essentially, everyone then just sort of cut their own little individual promo. Bobby Fish is facing EC3 next week on NXT TV. So he was kind of talking about that. Like that he said, he goes, I'm not just a guy, I'm the guy that people warned you about. Like that. Lovely stuff.
I really like new Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
I also like the fact that, to go back to the tag team point as well, the Undisputed Era here made the point that who are we going to face? Like the War Raiders, they're out of action now.
The
like,
Boar Raiders.
Yeah, the Boar Raiders. But, you know, Hansen is, as we find out later, mega injured.
Yeah.
so, like, they're out of the picture. Who else could possibly face the Undisputed Era here? And they go, they say, like, not the Forgotten Sons. Mm-hmm. Joke.
Yep.
Street Profits. No.
Like, yep.
They list off most of the tag teams. So, I mean, probably Heavy Machinery, but...
Well, yeah, because like, it's Kyle O'Reilly says, like, who are we going to face next? Those construction workers.
Yeah.
The Heavy Machinery. I did also... so, like, I think it was Roderick Strong. Amazing, like... rubbish bully line. It was like, who's going to face the mighty? More like the weaky. And they all go like, yeah, good one. So yeah, most likely it'll be Heavy Machinery. Ducky, ducky. And Adam Cole says this is their era. And as Laurie said, we found out that Hansen of the War Raiders is recovering from broken ribs.
Broken ribs, a ruptured spleen, and torn ligaments. Multiple torn ligaments.
So, what we have learned from NXT, though, if 2018 has taught us anything, is that sometimes injuries in NXT do get reported as real injuries, but in fact, they're actually... not surreal, and they're just a way to keep people off TV. Lars was that one where it's like, oh, he got a fractured bone in his jaw or whatever it was. Turns out that was a load of BS, and it was just a way to keep him off TV for a little while because they didn't want to just keep putting him in championship matches. So,
because he's massive.
So we'll find out whether or not this is a real injuries to a poor old Hansen and Bop. And then we got probably the best match of the whole night. This was terrific, actually. So it was Dakota Kai looking to get some revenge on the NXT Women's Champion, Shayna Baszler. In a non-title match. This was... I loved this.
It was great.
Really, really, really liked this. Slightly distracted at first, though, because Marina Shafir was wearing the same trainers that I got married in.
Oh.
Same colours and everything. I was just like, huh. I mean, grey Converse, they're not exactly, like, unique. But I was like, oh, those are the same trainers I got married in.
What if they were the exact same ones?
I know they're not because I've worn them since, and I've managed to knacker them out a little bit. I've got another pair. I've got my brother's pair from my groomsman. So I've got to have a nice pair of them that I save for special occasions.
You could have put them in, like, a box or something and kept them, you know.
Well, that's exactly what I should have done.
You could have entombed them or enshrined them.
That is exactly, Laurie, what I should have done. Instead, I needed a pair of Converse because my other ones had split.
I've been walking bare feet for ages.
So I was like, oh, right, brilliant. Yeah. Now I've got a pair of Converse again. This is grand. But they're now like completely knackered. Anyway, so back on the match, more importantly. Like I just really, really like this match. It was Baszler like working down Kai, like Kai sort of comes hot out the gate, but Baszler like catches her on the outside, like trying to do a kick off the apron, and she just launches her into the ring post. A really like creative and inventive way of using the ring post. I thought it looked really, really cool. Mm. And then she starts doing like the arm breaker spot and things like that. Kai sort of gets sort of moments of hope, but really this was all like Baszler beating down Dakota Kai, waiting for that comeback. And holy heckins. I mean, I'm a big, big fan of Dakota Kai. Mm. I bloody love Dakota Kai. I love her even more since I discovered she's also a massive fan of Slayer. So instantly, she's my numero uno in NXT now. But like when she's firing up, because like Baszler's like sort of pushing her down, and she's like, the camera shot this brilliantly where she's like getting really sort of fired up, and Baszler's like, "Oh my god, what are you doing?" And then she sort of ducks down and she does this scorpion kick right into Shayna. So cool.
So good.
But not only was it really cool from Kai, because I've watched it back since, Baszler's selling of it is amazing. She is something else, Shayna Baszler. She is absolutely incredible. She sells this kick. I'm literally in one motion. She falls down while at the same time going like, "What just happened?" Like it's incredible. She really is on another level. And then it's
kicks to the face.
Kicks to the face. Captain of Team Kick doing lots of kicks. And oh man, I loved it. I loved watching Kai run wild.
Yeah, it was awesome. There was a couple of bits at the beginning where she did the same thing. I loved the. I liked the whole. The beatdown angle was great with the moments of hope because it was always like. Baszler's just one step ahead of you.
Yeah.
There was a point where she went to do the arm stomp that she does.
Yeah.
And Kai moves her arm and then rolls up Baszler. But then in the roll up, Baszler transitions that into an armbar.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay.
It's great. She saw it coming.
She's unbeatable.
She is unbeatable. She's the best. And she goes up top. There's this really nice, well, I say it's a nice one. It made me laugh anyway. But they sort of go up top and Baszler jumps up and kicks her in the head. And then someone shouts from the crowd, "Finish her!"
Yeah.
Really made me laugh.
That moment was cool, though, because she was going for the... She had her in an arm lock, a wrist lock, didn't she? And then Kai went up to try and alleviate the pressure.
Which
nice. Which is great in ring storytelling. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she goes for the big gut wrench off the top, gets knocked down, jumps up with a kick to the head, all the way up to the top, and then the same, and the gut wrench happens.
Big gut wrench on the top.
So many good little moments in this match. It's well worth watching.
Absolutely, yeah. And then she locks in the Kurofuna clutch and gets the win. Really good showing for Dakota Kai. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've written here, lovely match. I just thought it was just lovely stuff. And I can tell you, well, this is my theory on things. I think Marina Shafir has been watching tapes of Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, because although she is married to Roderick Strong, she was emulating those two on the outside with all like the way she reacts to Shayna Baszler, the way she's like acting on the outside. She is channeling Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish.
She's channeling pure Fish.
She is pure Fish. And someone actually shared a video that was like Kyle O'Reilly is a national treasure, and it's like all of Kyle O'Reilly's best moments throughout this year and last year. And one of the ones I completely forgot about, which is when. Adam Cole, it was before Roderick Strong had joined Undisputed Era, and they're all in the parking lot. It's Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong, and Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish walk up. And Adam Cole was just like, "Oh, you know, you'll never get another title shot against us." And then Pete Dunne says, like, "Oh, well, like the time that I beat you." And Kyle O'Reilly takes off his glasses and just mounts, "How dare you?"
Yeah, that is an amazing moment. I've seen that gif so many times. It's so good.
How dare you? So I thought it was a really good match. And then afterwards, the horsewomen, they keep being referred to as the horsewomen, three or four horsewomen, they keep saying, start doing a beatdown on Kai, which didn't look all that great, in all fairness. It's like they were a bit like, I mean, we know we've got to do a beatdown, but I don't know how to start one.
I thought it was more like, I sort of read it, well, the way I watched it, and what it seemed like to me was they were doing... a sort of like, she's so pathetic that we're just playing with her. It wasn't a vicious beatdown. It was literally just like, they were just sort of kicking her between them. They were like pushing her in each other's direction.
That's nice.
And then I thought, after that, it then looked, when they actually started going for it, it looked a bit sloppy.
Yes.
And that was the point where I was like, okay, maybe it wasn't. But I like the idea that it was a bit more just like playing with your food and being like, we're just sort of, they were just sort of tipping her over and then kicking her around. It's like cats. Like,
yeah, but I think that's good. Yeah, I like that. And then out comes Ayup Shirai, and they, like, she essentially clear his house, and she sets up Baszler to do Dakota Kai's sort of like running penalty kick thing that she does to the face, but Baszler gets pulled to safety, mm-hmm. and the heels run away. And I mean, it's probably a good job that Baszler got moved out of the way, because Kai was not slowing down.
She was going fast.
She was not pulling that kick. Yeah. Absolutely not. She would have kicked her head off.
You're going through the ropes. Either through for your friends pulling you out, or through me forcing you out.
Like
the end of Alien Resurrection.
Like that kick essentially says, like, I'm not going to kick you to the main roster, just your head. I'm just kicking your head clean off your shoulders up to the main roster. We then got a video package for Dijakovic?
Doesn't matter.
Let's go with the first one. It's not his real name. And then it was announced that EC3 will take on Bobby Fish next week. And then we got our main event segment.
He was the chairman of NXT.
Oh, yeah, that is nice.
Fish is the chairman of NXT.
Very nice. And then we got our main event segment, which was Tommy EC coming out, Tommaso Ciampa, to say that he was the MVP of TakeOver War Games. And he said, most of the crowd's like, no one believed in me. You didn't believe in me. You didn't believe on me. Pointing up to Maro now, and the great shot of Maro selling this, of being like, don't even mention my name. Don't bring me into this. He's like, you didn't believe to me. You've never said nice things about me. But mamma mia, here I stand, the NXT champion. I thought it was really cool.
Man, it was really good.
Yeah, he's not the flavor of the week. He's not the flavor of the month. He's the sports entertainer of the year. Mm. Lovely stuff.
And they cut to the a little kid with a Ciampa as a bully sign.
With the thumbs down. Boo.
Boo.
What a mark. And then
stupid young mark.
Aleister Black's music hits. Really good reaction for him coming out. Mm. And he says that he was absolved, Gargano, of his sins. Sins that Ciampa helped create. And he said he's not really a champion. And he's invoking his rematch clause for TakeOver Phoenix, which will happen the nights before the Royal Rumble. But this brings out Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Freakin' Wrestling, who says that, hey, I think you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit there.
We're not done.
We're not done yet, pal. And they had a really, really good back and forth. But what I love about this, it was that Ciampa was the one pulling all the strings.
Yes, so that was the thing. So Aleister Black, in his initial bit of the promo, he said, you've been the puppet master, haven't you? You've been orchestrating this whole thing. And then he gets out of the ring as Johnny comes out. And there is a point where he says he's doing the talking, and Johnny's just stood there completely still, staring at Black, not saying anything, and just not reacting to what Ciampa's saying. But it's almost like he's on standby until he gets instructions to do something from Ciampa. And then Ciampa's like, yeah, goading them into this steel cage match, which is what's set up here. And Johnny's like, yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah, 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 I am. Yeah, no.
And I love this. Like, Ciampa's really playing up on their history. It's like, and I know Johnny very well. And if there's one thing that Johnny Boy would love, it's a steel cage match with you. Like, and it was really, really nice. Really playing the puppet master role. Both of them kind of really got suckered into this. But Black looked, you know, very, very happy to be locked inside of a steel cage with Johnny Wrestling. And they have this really good back and forth with, like, sort of shouting at each other. And then Ciampa, Black fires up and says, like, I'll fight you inside a steel cage. I can beat you anywhere. I can beat you outside in the parking lot. And Johnny Wrestling just says, oh, yeah, because that worked out really well for you last time. Whole crowd goes, oh!
So Black swings for him.
Black was like, yeah, I walked right into that one. Here, have a black mass!
And yeah.
But Gargano ducks and bails. And Ciampa's just on the outside. His plan has worked. puppet master. Black mass right to the face, which he sold absolutely brilliantly. I thought it was a really, really cool angle to end off this show. I thought it was awesome. Perhaps the highlight of this, though, was Gargano walking up the ramp doing the Scott Hall spooky fingers. I'd be like, ooh, we're so scared.
Mm.
That was great.
I just, one thing I didn't like about this bit was, I don't know why Aleister Black got his full entrance.
Yes.
It just felt a bit weird, didn't it? Yeah, like, to be like, he used, like, Ciampa was like on a roll, and then it was like, boom,
boom,
wait for the smoke,
boom, boom,
coming, up in, a, coming
boom,
up in a coffin,
bah,
like,
boom, 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 bah.
I know. Like, when he enters the, like, they're trying to have this mystique with Aleister Black, and they do have it when he does do that full entrance. But, like, here, it just felt like you're killing the pace in here. Like, it needs to be like, he just hit his music, have him in the, like, have him storm out.
Yeah.
It just felt weird for him to be like, oh, I'm going to just come out and do the whole, like, thing, and then be like, yeah, now I've got something to say.
Yeah.
And now that I've spent a good minute and a half getting here, here's my point.
Now that I have entertained all of these people with my excellent entrance, which they're going to have to see again because it's the same crowd every night, I've got a point to make. Can I have a match?
Keep firing off the old smoke machine.
It's all the residue from Punishment Martinez's fart music. So yeah, I thought it was a cool ending segment to what I thought was a really, really fun episode of NXT. I thought it was a terrific show.
It was. I mean, it's back to form, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that, you know, we're now in the stage where we're setting up stuff for the future. We're still allowed to have matches that don't particularly go anywhere, that don't necessarily mean very much, but they managed to be very, very good.
Yes.
But the thing that mattered the least on this was probably the Forgotten Sons versus Mendoza and Carrillo.
Yep.
Brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought it was a very, very fun show. Well worth checking out if you just watch these rambles just to find out what happened in NXT and get our thoughts. I would recommend you go out of your way to watch this episode. I thought it was a heck of a lot of fun. Got a quick email here from Brody Hansen that says, "Hey Luke, I don't play D&D, nor have I ever played D&D, but I do find you and Laurie's D&D conversations fascinating. Do you think you could make it a regular segment on the NXT podcast? Maybe summarizing the night in your outro. Really curious to hear what is happening with your characters and the campaign."
Ooh.
We are happy to oblige with that. We thought we'd put this in the outro because if you aren't keen on hearing us talk about games, then you can just turn the podcast off.
Just stop listening. This is it from now on. There might be a joke at the end, so maybe skip right to the end. But other than that, we're just going to talk about games.
But unfortunately, we're not starting up our new campaign.
No, not until the new year. We decided that we wouldn't be able to get a session in because everyone is obviously doing various Christmas parties and social gatherings and buying presents or whatever people do in the run-up to Christmas. We thought we'd get one session in, but that's probably not very good for starting and then waiting 3 weeks and then going, what did we do again?
And really, it's a minimum of 3 weeks because we might start something and then you've got the Christmas break and then people might not be ready.
Yes.
When we get back in January or get back into London. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably a smarter play for us to just wait until January so we can all get back together in the same room and start this campaign anew. Also, give us our Dungeon Master some more time to write stuff out.
Yes, I think he's already written the whole thing. I believe that he has already done it all.
Yeah.
He is chomping at the bit.
I'm so excited. So excited.
I'm really excited. There's some cool stuff happening. Hopefully we can continue recapping our NXT stuff, but also hopefully there's potential that we might not have to.
Yes.
As we are in a non-Wrestle Talk manner, we're looking to record it as a podcast and put it out, hopefully.
So. Yes.
We'll look into working that out.
Yeah, I think we've got a little bit of time over the Christmas period where we can sort of discuss plans and stuff and get some microphones sorted and sort of how we want to manage this, who's going to take control of the editing side of things. And
hey, I got a lot of time.
Yeah, got all the time on my hands.
I got loads of time.
So, so we may be launching a Dungeons & Dragons podcast next year, which you're all free to download and listen to. That's not going to be recaps. That will literally be listening to us play the game and sort of talking about our characters and this and the other. So that could be something we'd launch next year. Very excited about that.
Ooh, me too.
But last night, instead, we went to the pub. Went to, what's it called? It's the Defector's
the
Weld.
The Defector's Weld in Shepherd's Bush. Shebu.
In Shebu, not too far from my front door, so it was very convenient for me to get home of an evening.
First time ever.
Yeah, it was lovely. Well, actually, it's not too bad when we go to Dan's.
No.
Because, he's only in Kilburn, so it's only only a couple of tube rides for me. I just get the Met the Victoria and the Met. Doesn't matter which trains I get. It's 25 minutes from my front door.
You get some trains, mate.
I get some trains, mate. But so we went to the pub instead to play what might be my favourite game, my favourite discovered game in 2018 that you introduced us to on our friend Tom Stagdo.
Yeah.
This is a game called Smash Up.
Smash Up!
It's a heck of a lot of fun.
Isn't it?
It really is.
So for the uninitiated, Smash Up is it brands itself as a shuffle building card game. The idea is that you have, you get a base set that's got, I think, 8 different factions in it, and all the factions are quite broad strokes of zombies, dinosaurs, robots, aliens, wizards.
Yeah, they feel like they were written to appeal to the geek market.
And it goes, and from that base set, which is ninjas and all that kind of stuff, very broad topics, it gets more niche.
Yes.
We'll go into some of that maybe in a minute. But the idea is that you take, it's a game for, I guess 3 to 5 players. You take it in turns to pick one deck. So I'll say I'm going to be the wizards. And the next person picks a deck, next person picks a deck, next person picks a deck. The person at the end picks 2 decks. So they go, I'm going to be the robots and the dinosaurs. So I am now the robot dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And then it goes back up and everyone picks 2 decks. You take those 2 decks, and they've all got 20 cards in each. you shuffle them together.
Smash them up.
You smash them up to become, yeah. So if you've chosen to be ninjas and aliens, you're ninja aliens.
Yeah, zombie pirates.
Zombie pirates. Last night I played zombie ninjas.
Oh, and that was a good choice.
That was a good deck.
That was a very good deck.
And obviously, like, not everything works together, but you once you've played it a couple of times, you get the sense that, you know, some decks are support, some decks are a bit more like presence. Because the idea is that you put minions on bases to drive the power of the base up to reach a top number that caps it.
Yeah.
So the base card will say 25 power. Minions range from 1 to about 5. So when you put your 5 power down, that base goes to 5. And as you build it up, you break the base at 25. When it breaks, whoever has the most power on the base gets a set number of points that are written on the card. Then there's a second place and a third place. There are other effects that happen. You've got action cards you can play. It's really, really fun.
It's so
and
good.
Shouldn't work as well as it does, I don't
no,
think.
No, it really, like, the mechanic of, like, breaking the bases feels very clunky. Mm. But actually, just works really, really well. And it's very, very strategic. You really have to think about what you're doing, not only like the decks that you pick, but also then the moves that you, because you've only got like a certain number of cards within your hand from the deck of 40 cards that you've got. So you need to try and like make sure you're planning out ahead, knowing what you're going to do, trying to predict the moves of other people, noticing what they're doing, the trends that they are they're making. And it really is fun. It's really good. I had a bad deck in my first one though, because you've got a lot of the expansion packs.
Yes,
which kind of introduce things like the big in Japan one introduces Power Rangers and Transformers,
Pokemon,
and Sailor Moon, I think is the other one.
Yeah, Sailor Moon and Godzilla.
The Kaiju. And then you've got the Pretty Princess pack.
The pretty one that's got, Magical Princesses, which is Disney Princesses.
Yep.
They're all, a lot of them are riffs on popular culture. Yeah, Disney Princesses. Kittens.
Yep. My Little Pony.
Yeah, My Little Pony and fairies, I think.
Yes, the fairies, yeah, yeah.
And then I've got the Cthulhu set that has four different types of Lovecraftian abyssal horrors, I guess, would be the way to describe it. And a few other ones. And last night I got one of the new sets, which is Vikings, Samurai, which are wicked. Mm. Cowboys and Egyptians.
Yes, no, mummies and things like that. Yeah. It's really, really cool. So my first deck was Alien Kittens.
Mm.
And man alive, I was really frustrated with those kitten cards.
Yeah, they don't do very much with the aliens.
They do. Oh, yeah, they don't do much with the aliens. And the kitten cards are handy if you're at a base. Like, if you can get onto a base that's just about to break, you can get a lot of... You can basically steal everyone's points and just get the maximum number of points, which I managed to do once, but you've got to be in that position where you can be there.
And the kittens' main, like their monster cards and a lot of their action cards, the power that they have is they steal other people's stuff and makes it their own. So you can go, I take your minion and that's now mine. So it doesn't drive up the value of the base, but if you play that card to drive up the value of the base and then take something else, you position yourself to break the base at the last moment and put yourself in first and you get 5 points rather than...
Yes.
Whatever else anyone else is doing.
Yeah. So we had a really, really... our first game took ages to play with. It was the four of us. Like, it took us majority of the evening to play through.
Yeah.
It was really good, though.
Like, it was the point where everyone started to stop me.
Yeah, because...
I ran away with it from the beginning, and then everyone was like, we have to stop him now.
Yeah, so we were like... Every turn seemed to be like, let's just try and slow down Laurie's cards while at the same time trying to steal as many points as we can so that we can... And it actually became quite close in the end.
It was very close, but I was 1 point away from... about half an hour and I just couldn't get to it. Like, there was a point where I'd built up this whole base and I was on my own, and you got points when you broke it. You got points whatever cards you had. It wasn't like a set amount. It was like how many minions you got on here, that's the amount of points you get.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, as long as I have one minion on this base, I win a point and I win the game. So I'd built it up to have like six minions on it, and then someone just went, this is a card that makes you ignore the base's power.
That was me.
Yeah. And so it's just like, oh, this is worthless now, because the base itself isn't actually worth any points.
Yeah.
That's the only way, the only value it has is by having minions on it. I was like, oh my God.
Slowly
just wasted like 20 minutes.
Second game was slightly quicker. What did I have in that one? I was Kaiju. God, what was I? Kaiju Wizards.
Kaiju Wizards, yeah.
Because the Wizards are very good for like cycling
wizards. I wanted the Wizards.
Yeah, very good for
Viking
like
Wizards. I ended up Viking Pokemon. and the Pokemon are not. I don't think the Pokemon are very good.
Yeah, Vikings are very cool though. Like the ability to steal other people's cards is very handy. Yes. So that is our board game recommendation, I guess,
for the year.
I mean, I would say certainly as we're heading into the Christmas period and people are getting together to play games or, you know, playing family games and stuff, I would heartily recommend this. Like if you've got a family that are very much in and are willing to get on board with such a wacky idea, then it's a hell of a lot of fun to play. Really good with siblings.
It's one of those ones as well where I think it strikes a very good balance, because actually you've got a very limited amount of things you can do each turn. You're only allowed to play one minion and do one action. But when you start to smash the decks together, everything ramps up in difficulty. But I think even, you know, like one of our friends at the pub last night, he's not a big game player. Like, I've watched him play video games and struggle with the concept of the waypoint marker in BioShock, etc. However, like, he was putting off some pretty big moves with stuff in Smash Up, because it's just, you can just get it. It's so simple, the stuff that you can do with it. But it reveals its complexities in a nice sort of like easing you in kind of way.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And also, if you are looking for games to get to play over the Christmas period, Shut Up and Sit Down have just put up a really good video, Matt Lee's, like 15 games to play with your family, which I would recommend, because there's someone there that I'm actually looking to get for Christmas this year when
did
I go
you
to
see
my
thing
family's.
I sent you about the thing.
Oh, I did. Yes, sorry, I forgot to text you back about that. Yeah, Tom's got it.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, Tom West got it when it came out, because it's a Mondo release, I believe, based on the John Carpenter film, The Thing. It's a massive, massive box. But it's like you need like a minimum of 6 players in order to actually play it.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like from players 6 to 12 or whatever.
My God.
So like it really is like, I think he's been trying to get everyone together so we can play this.
I'm up
game.
For it.
I'm very much up for
sounds
it as well.
Sounds like Werewolf, but also a board game.
Oh, that's exactly what it is, yeah. But the problem is, Laurie, is that it's trying to find 6 of us that can all be in the same location at the same time. Maybe it's something we'll try in the new year. But thank you very much for listening. Ollie and I will be back on Saturday with the magazine Wrestle Ramble with your crap gimmicks and your mailbag questions. If you are one of our pledge hammers, do remember to head over to the Patreon page and vote in the poll for what pay-per-view we're going to review for Wrestle Ramble Extra. Currently leading the charge, as is probably to be expected for December, it is ECW's December to Dismember from 2006, thought to be one of the worst pay-per-views of all time. If you would like us to review something good, I would recommend going over there now to and have your voice heard.
Make them do that one.
So we can listen to something nice. Then we can all be very cheery over the Christmas period. So that is all we've got time for. We'll see you on Saturday. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.